Do you have an autoimmune disease or other chronic illness, but you also want to start a family? Have you wondered about how to make this happen or if you even can? My guest this week is Jessica Lorien, an actress and mama in training who's decided to make some lifestyle changes, including the AIP diet, in order to get herself in a better place physically with her psoriatic arthritis so that she can start a family. So let's get right into this week's episode of Chronically Living. I'm Kelsey Harris, chronic illness warrior and psychotherapist. On Chronically Living and How to Make the Most of It, we're providing tangible ways to improve the well-being of spoonies. So get ready to make the most out of your life, even with that pesky chronic illness.
My name is Jessica. I'm originally from Massachusetts, south of Boston, north of Providence. But now I live in New York City, just outside of the city in Queens, and I work in the city. So basically now a New Yorker, I guess, officially, since I've been here for 13 years. I think when you've lived here for 10, you can call yourself a New Yorker. So yeah, I live in New York City and I'm an actor and podcast host, and I do a bunch of other things as little side odd jobs and, you know, other passion projects, but those are my two main passions at the moment.
I always like to have my guests share their stories and health journeys, as I call them, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episodes. But before we even get into Jessica's, she had some great opening messages to share with us.
I think hearing other people's stories is really empowering. And one thing I wanted to say before we start too, is I love how you call it chronically living. Because there's the positive side to, you know, I don't know if anyone here is a fan of Tony Robbins, but Tony Robbins often talks about like the words that we use and the importance of the words that we use and how, you know, if you are a recovering alcoholic and you're saying that you're a recovering alcoholic, you will always be recovering. And so I think it kind of plays into the same realm of I have an autoimmune disease. So if I have a chronic illness and I have an autoimmune disease, I will always be the sufferer of that, you know, but the way that you frame it, chronically living, it's for the positive and it's the way that we can kind of overcome these things. So first of all, I just wanted to say, I think that's so cool. And thank you for reframing it that way. Yeah.
And that is the idea of the show, reframing our experience. So I thank Jessica for pointing that out. And without further ado, here's her health journey.
My health journey really took a hard toll and turn back in 2011. And my whole life, I've pretty much been extremely healthy, always had really good skin, never had even acne. And I was at a place in my life that, I guess, looking back, I didn't think that I was very stressed out. But I think subconsciously, I was dealing with a lot of stress. So I was at the moment auditioning for a lot of really big opportunities, had a lot of things up in the air. I was grinding, as they say, as in the actor world here in New York City. And I think what ended up happening, you know, they never really know how certain things like this in the autoimmune disease world really do come to fruition. But I think it was the actual stress that just made it come out. So it started developing as little spots on my body. And honestly, at first I thought it was bug bites. I mean, I thought it was bed bugs because, you know, living in New York City, and I was actually subletting an apartment at the time. So I didn't really know she might have bed bugs, but one of my best friends had visited me from Chicago and she was sleeping with me in my bed and we were going to auditions together and living together essentially for like 2 weeks straight. And she didn't have any of these bites on her. So anyway, fast forward to a year later, and I was pretty much covered head to toe in what I then discovered to be psoriasis. I was then put on biological medication because when I was first given a steroidal cream, an ointment to put on the spots, that would help a little by little, but then I was completely covered, like completely covered head to toe. Minus my face, thank goodness. I just had a couple spots on the sides, but other than that, I was covered. And so I said to my dermatologist, I'm putting this ointment on as if it was body lotion, completely covering me. And it's a steroidal ointment. And he's like, no, we need to stop that. So that's when I went on Humira, the biological medication. And it was pretty much a year to the day after being on Humira that I was performing in Los Angeles. I ended up going on a national tour. From all that stress of the auditions, at least it paid off. I did get a job. And so I was on tour for 2 years, traveling the country, having an amazing experience and life and opportunity. But, you know, my skin was just outrageous. And one of these times when I was in LA, I started to develop some pain around my ankles and feet. And long story made short with that is my husband actually then boyfriend visited me at the time, and he had to carry me to the bathroom when I had to brush my teeth because I was just in so much pain I couldn't walk. And it was the first time I had to call out of the show. I couldn't perform, and it was heartbreaking, and I didn't really know what was going on. I thought it was just from some shoes that I had gotten that were new, some flip-flops. And fast forward to, like, what was that, I guess 6 months later or whatnot. At that point, they had completely taken me off of the Humira, and the doctors wouldn't necessarily say this, but I would venture to say that it was the Humira that gave me the arthritis, because that's what I ended up getting diagnosed with, was arthritis. Now, my actual diagnosis is psoriatic arthritis, and they know that that does come hand in hand, but I just thought it was a little bit strange how I had no arthritic pain until I went on the Humira. And that, of course, is a side effect along with, you know, the laundry list of other things. So I was completely taken off of the Humira at that point. When I was in so much pain, I had also developed something called vasculitis, which is the swelling of your blood vessels around my ankles and feet. And that was a pain that I can't even express. It was absolutely horrifying. And they put me on dapsone and methotrexate. And basically the dapsone was supposed to handle the vasculitis, and the methotrexate was supposed to primarily handle the arthritis, but it would sort of control the psoriasis at the same time. And at this point, my psoriasis was somewhat under control because I had been on the Humira, but it was still back, not full force, but it was still back. But I just had so much pain that was really my main priority. Skipping forward then, because of the medications, I ended up being fine. My arthritis ended up, as time went on, going away. My psoriasis ended up pretty much healing. And now fast forward to 2019, I was living a quote unquote normal life. I was on a full dosage of both medications still, but I had no pain, and really just light spotting here and there, you know, common places like my elbows and ankles and things like that.
Even though the show often focuses on more holistic approaches to treating our illnesses, I really want to point out that medications have a place, right? As Jessica mentions, her medications really helped her heal. And I think we need to take a moment to remember that that is why we take them. They are useful, certainly to a degree. Jessica also shares some of her mental health journey with us, and that's available to patrons of Chronically Living. If you're not a patron yet, you get bonus content for each episode, and it's only $5 a month. It helps support the show, so if you'd like to do that, support the show, just click the link in the show notes. We're going to get a little more of Jessica's backstory leading up to what she's here to talk to us about today.
But really, where my health took a change. Actually, I should go back quickly and just say too, when I was on tour, this was before the arthritis even came, and I was just looking for anything to help my psoriasis because, you know, first of all, I was performing, I was wearing costumes, and I had my skin just break out. And at one point I was so embarrassed and shameful because My whole team there, from my director to my choreographer to my cast, everyone was unbelievable. But I'll never forget the moment that they said, "I'm so sorry, Jess, but can you start to put a little bit of medication on your chest? Because we can notice it from the house." And I was just like, "Ah, crap." So, you know, I had to start doing that. And that was not only uncomfortable, but also just sort of personally, mentally hurt. So I was looking for anything that I could possibly do to remedy this. I went on like an apple diet where I only ate apples for 3 days. God knows where I found that. But one thing I did discover was that gluten could affect, you know, my psoriasis and could make it worse. So I decided to go gluten-free. But with that being said, I didn't really go gluten-free. Like everyone talks about how you go gluten-free, but then oftentimes, or whatever free, dairy-free, whatever free, but then you're often substituting these, you know, other things, these gluten-free treats that are still chock full of corn and sugar and all these other things. So you're technically gluten-free, but I wasn't really, really aware of the full-on health parameters of being gluten-free. So in 2019, after my husband and I had been married for 2 years, we've now been together 13 years. So we had been together for about 10 at that time. And the conversation of starting a family was kind of coming up. And on my medications, I cannot have children whatsoever. I'd have to have an abortion. It's too dangerous for the fetus. So I knew that this journey to get off of medications was ahead. And I knew that I probably should start the journey soon because it would be a matter of weaning myself off of the medications. And I didn't know how long that was going to take or what would happen. And that's when really I decided to take my health into my own hands and really went on a strict, rigid diet and took, you know, I made a plan to really heal myself from the inside out.
As Jessica mentioned, she wants to start a family, and that can be much more difficult and require a lot more preparation when you have an autoimmune disease. So Jessica started with clean eating.
Well, when I really decided, like I mentioned in 2019, to make the commitment to really do this and heal myself truly from the inside out, because my plan, which doesn't have to be everyone's plan, but my plan was I did not want to go on another medication, if at all possible. And I needed to completely be off of the medications that I was on currently. And not only that, but I have to be off of those medications for about 6 months, give or take, before I even start to try to conceive. And the funny part is a lot of people are like, oh, well, oftentimes when you get pregnant, your hormones change. And then you might not even have your psoriasis or your arthritis anymore. And I'm like, well, that's wonderful, but I got to get to that point. Like, there's still this gap of time that I need to wait it out. So for me, what worked for me, and it worked really well because I like a plan and a schedule and a list. So I decided to follow a diet called the Dr. Amy Myers Autoimmune Solution Diet. And she has a book, The Autoimmune Solution. I think it's like the Autoimmune Solution Protocol. And then she has a cookbook. And so I first started by reading that. And then I set a date. And luckily, I have a really supportive husband. So he was on board to help me with that too. And it starts off with a 30-day elimination. And so for 30 days, you get rid of a lot. And you really just narrow down super clean. And then after the 30 days, you start introducing things slowly. And she has a really strong method with how you introduce those things. So say you're introducing this week nightshades, you'll introduce it for 3 days, and then you'll stop for 3 days. And you won't introduce the nightshade again until you've gone through every category. But you'll make note of what you might have felt or experienced or whatnot when you added that back in. And so if I didn't see any sort of reaction to my intestines or my, you know, tiredness or my how I felt or anything, then at the end of all of the introductions, I added back in the things that did work for me. Or should I say that didn't bother me?
The autoimmune solution and autoimmune protocol diets like this are really popular. I've never personally done one because you all know by now that I've struggled in the past with that. But I've heard from many others like Jessica that this has worked really well for them.
So kind of where I've come to now is I'm at a place where I never have gluten. Well, I shouldn't say never. There are some rare occasions, but the main thing that you're supposed to not do is ever have gluten, ever have dairy. And I try not to ever have like real sugar, real white sugar. So I try to just do honey or maple syrup or stevia. And then other than that, the categories that have worked for me, I've added in. So like I have legumes kind of every so often. They don't really bother me. I have nightshades every so often, not too much because of the acidity, but they don't really bother me too much. I have coffee, but I try to limit my coffee intake. So it's kind of like that. There's some things I have, some things I don't have. I don't have any oils. Like I really only have coconut oil or olive oil. I try not to have like any palm, canola, vegetable oil. So I've kind of come to a place where it's livable for me. And I'm happy to say that doing this way, I have now today, actually, no, tomorrow, actually, I thought about it today because I put my pills all in their spots today, but starting tomorrow, I will be completely off of my one medication, methotrexate, and I will work over the next month to get off of my very last medication. So I've gone down significantly.
So we recorded this episode a few months ago, actually, and Jessica would probably, I guess, now be off of it for a while at this point. So hopefully she can give us an update on Instagram.
Well, September 2019, I started the diet. January, I kind of got to a place of where I felt like I have a diet that, or a way of eating, I like to say more so, not a diet, but my way of eating. I really did that 2019. And then the pandemic hit. So I, in January, started lowering my medication. At the time, I was on 5 pills a week of the methotrexate and dapsone every day. And over time, I slowly, slowly have dwindled that down. And it took longer because of the pandemic. I lost my insurance and blah, 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 and everything. So it's been drawn out. But honestly, in a way, it's probably for the best. Because knock on wood, as of now, I have very, very minimal pain. I've noticed a little bit of sensitivity in my fingers, but very minimal. My skin is really good. And so, you know, if I can go off this last medication tomorrow and feel great for the next month and then go off the dapsone completely by, what are we in? November, December, by January, I could be completely off my medication. So yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, and like you said, like very little bit of maybe some pain sensations, but not too bad, like totally manageable is what you're saying.
Totally manageable. Yeah. And you know, it's the type of thing, like my one rheumatologist had said, you know, if you start experiencing any pains, then we'll have to put you on another medication. And his initial reason for saying that was inflammation in the body can be really damaging to a fetus, actually more so than even some of these medications. But what I've been doing is really regulating through my blood work and all of that. And so I got all of my blood tests done last week, actually, to kind of see where I was at before I went off of these last two meds so that I can then compare in January, you know, and if my inflammation has gone up or if it stayed or if it's gone down. So, I mean, in my opinion, as long as they don't look at my numbers and say like, whoa, your blood work level says that there's like a ton of inflammation, I can deal with this a little bit. And and like I said, it's very minimal. And as long as like, if I can try to regulate my work and not work crazy hours, like I do sometimes, but if I can try to minimize that, if I can try to minimize my stress, and if I can try to have my way of eating, then fingers crossed and positive vibes, I think I can do it without another medication.
Obviously, going off medications is not something we're recommending here. Always consult with your doctors before doing so or doing any, you know, major changes. It is important that if you are deciding to become pregnant and you have an autoimmune disease, you are doing it as safely as possible for yourself and the baby. And again, your doctor is your best resource for this. This just happens to be the approach Jessica has taken in consultation with her doctors. I do want to point out that changes in eating have come up time and time again as a way to improve your well-being with an autoimmune disease. So this is regardless of whether you stay on your medications or go off them, definitely take a look at some of these different ways of eating. If you're hesitant to make changes with your eating habits, here's Jessica's advice.
I think the number one thing, and this is with anything that you do in life, but especially with a diet, because we use food as a social aspect. We use it as a comfort tool. We use it as a healing process. So, and first I will say, I have had great success, but I am not perfect. I definitely have binged on my pints of Ben and Jerry's every so often, but my main general way of eating is this way. And I try to get to the gym and stay active as much as possible. I drink lots of water, you know, those few things. So this doesn't mean, first of all, going into something like this, I don't think that you can aim for perfection, because what even is that? But the number one thing that you have to do is find a why. You need a why. And this is what I'm so like preachy about these days. Anyone that I talk to that says like, how did you do this or whatever? And it's still something that I'm dealing with day to day is my why. And my why is a baby. It's to have a family and to hold that little baby in my arms. And as I, it, like, if I start to think about it, talk about it too much, I'll just get teary eyed, but that's my why. And so it's literally, like I said, a daily effort. I mean, part of my job is I work in a hotel and I do events at this hotel, and like, we have a lot of really great food. And we often on these events have something, you know, called a candy station, where there's just literally like candy lined up in front of me and I am serving it and I'm putting it out, and I can very easily just like take a couple chunkfuls in my hand and swallow them down very easily. So constantly it's this reminder. I like look at that food and I'm like, I literally say out loud, my coworkers think I'm crazy, but I literally say out loud, I'm like, your devil food. And then I say to myself, I'm like, I want a baby. And I'm not saying, of course, that if I were to eat these things, I couldn't have a baby. I mean, who even knows? But for me, I'm just allowing myself this opportunity to be as clean as I can so that I can have those things. So for sure, coming up with your why is number one. And even if that's just, you know, if you just have to lose weight, even if you don't have like disease or anything like that, but you're just, you know, you have to lose weight. Well, yeah, we all could lose a few pounds. There are some people who could gain a few pounds, but like, why do you have to do those things? You know, are you an older person who wants to lose those pounds or get healthier because you want to be around to see your granddaughter or your grandson get married, or you want to just see your grandson or your granddaughter, you want to meet them? Or, you know, do you have a why that means that you want to travel, and so in order to travel, like, you know, whatever it is, or you want to get married, or you want to, whatever this thing is for you, but like really boiling down and coming up with your why. Honestly, once you have a why and once you've like pictured yourself there and taken yourself to that point of like, this is a little bit esoteric, but Tony Robbins also talks, I'm a fan of his. He also has people go through these exercises of like, I mean, this sounds really morbid, but visually taking yourself to that place that you are not around, you have passed, and your granddaughter is being born, and you're not able to see your daughter or your son's baby be born. And like, physically taking yourself to that place, so much so that you have a physical response. You cry, you feel, you know, gross, you feel icky. Or like for me, physically taking me to that place of like the doctor telling me you cannot have children. And like the feeling that I would feel experiencing that. And it's like, once you've taken yourself to that place, there's no going back, you know, and you've really rooted that why in there so deeply. So that was a really long explanation, but that's what I would say.
Are you ready for our lightning round questions?
Oh my gosh, I hope so. Okay.
All right. So what are the top five songs that describe your life?
So the first one I have to say is my karaoke song, which I need to get a new song, but it's Don't Stop Believin'. Of course, from Journey. Another one I would say is Brave by Sara Bareilles. I Won't Give Up, Jason Mraz. And I don't know if you're seeing a common theme here, but yeah. Like I'm seeing a common theme a little here. Bit, yeah. When I'm Dancing from Meghan Trainor. And the last one I'll say is it doesn't really it does describe me, but it's called Llegaste Tú, and it's from Luis Fonsi, and it was actually our wedding song, but it means basically like then you came along, like then I found you, and that's how I feel a lot with my husband. So,
I love that. What's one thing you can't go a day without doing?
Well, my initial thought is coffee. Because I do need to just have even if it's tea, like I need to just have something for me in the morning. But as silly as it sounds, I also have to honestly say, like, accomplishing something, even if it's a day off, like, in accomplishing something means like writing down a few things that I'm grateful for in a notebook or something. But I need to just every day feel like I did something for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What's one thing you plan on doing in your life that you haven't yet?
Well, that's easy. Have a baby.
I knew you were going to say that.
For sure. Become a mom, for sure.
Yeah. Amazing. Describe your perfect day.
I'm going to describe my perfect future day because I'm going to manifest it into the world. And so my perfect future day is I have my baby at home. I'm able to live at home. I'm able to work and live out of my house with my podcast. Editing, well, maybe not editing. I'll push that off the side, but hosting and creating my podcast with my baby and also acting professionally. So going on set for feature films and also recurring series, TV series and things like that. And being able to do it all from home.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how do you inspire others to make the most of their lives?
Well, it's why I created the Mamas in Training podcast and Mamas in Training community. It's what I really has like fed me. And so I decided to start this podcast when I discovered that I'm going to have this waiting period of motherhood. And so I interview women about what they wish they had known before they became pregnant and entered motherhood so that all of us mamas in training can really learn and I can learn right alongside my audience. And so I've built a community and really I'm providing the extra support that women might need to have support, community, guidance, and kind of get those tips that you might not necessarily just get from a book or your doctor. So
that's great. Awesome. Yeah. And so where can we find you and follow you then?
For the podcast, you can find me everywhere, pretty much Mamas in Training. That's with an A. So MAMAS at mamasintraining.com, Mamas in Training, a Facebook group. You're more than welcome to join. It's a wonderful community. And on Instagram, it's Mamas in Training Pod, POD. And then personally, you can find me there, but also on Jessica Lorien, at Jessica Lorien on Instagram, jessicalorien.com, pretty much everywhere. Jessica Lorien and Mamas in Training. And I respond to all of my messages, DMs. You can email me info@mamasintraining or info@jessicalorien.com. And I'd love to hear from anybody and hear your journey as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. You've been a really insightful guest. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Kelsey. It was so nice to be here. And I hope everyone continues to chronically live in a positive way with a strong why.
I really like the why aspect of what Jessica said today, because it's true. How can we make any lifestyle, long-lasting lifestyle changes without a clear reason to do that? And really a clear values-based reason for doing that. For Jessica, family is really important to her. So it makes sense that she's going to take all of this action to make these changes so that she can have that values-based goal. Let's reflect for a moment before we wrap up today. So what did you notice about your thoughts and feelings while you listened to Jessica's story? And what are you noticing now about that noticing? As always, take care and keep making the most of it. Special thanks to Mardi for the original music and Charity Williams for the original artwork.